It's up to you.
That's why I was doing the lean.
Ready to make magic?
You ever feel like we're like Regis and Kathy Lee?
No. No. Maybe we're Hoda and Kathy Lee.
Yeah, that's more likely.
Or Hoda and Kelly. I don't know. I think they would be a great show.
Yeah.
I think Hoda and Kelly Lee, Kelly just talking shit about Kathy Lee.
Yeah, well, you've got Kelly's with Michael Strahan now, so.
Michael Strahan has a show?
Yeah, he took over for Regis.
Permanently?
Yeah.
See, I don't know anything
morning,
about
yeah,
anything.
It's not Good Morning America.
On Regis and Kathy
Regis
Lee.
Regis and Kelly, yeah.
And now it's Michael and Kelly?
Yeah.
That's the name of the
Michael
show.
Michael or something like that, yeah.
When did this happen?
A month or two ago.
Oh, good. So it's not like 2 years ago.
No,
one of those things
no,
that
no,
I just
no,
completely
no, no,
forgot.
No. Regis Philbin had to retire, finally.
Like, seriously, the level of things, like, you don't understand when you get to this age. It'll be just, like, shit happens. You'll go into the supermarket. You won't know anybody in the magazines. Somebody will make a joke that requires you to sort of have what they understand as a basic awareness of popular culture people. And you'll just be like, oh, okay, that's a person that I don't know. Who's oh, that? It's just like that time that Tracy Kincaid got divorced from Bob Johnson. You'd be like, it is so much like that, those crazy kids.
Miley Cyrus.
Well, I know who that is, because she was a damn hillbilly even when I was aware of things. Hey, welcome to Prefer Not To. It's a weekly sometime cocktail hour with your...
Always cocktail hour.
With your hosts, Josh and Kate. I am not Kate.
I'm not Josh.
Every week, Kate and I have a cocktail. It's sort of a cocktail this week, I guess.
This is technically a cocktail.
And then talk about some movies and popular culture and take your letters or pretend that you wrote letters to us. And then we send you on your way all in less than an hour. How's things going, Kate?
That's good.
Studio is very cozy today.
It is very cozy. It's a sweet pillow fort.
It is. And it is a warm day.
Yeah, which is
outside.
Not fortuitous, I guess.
No, not given what we're drinking today.
Yeah, what are we drinking, Josh?
Well, we're drinking the hot toddy.
Thank you, Amber.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about the hot toddy there, Kate.
I chose the hot toddy because it is, in fact, December, and somehow still manages to be 70 degrees outside.
Yeah, you thought it might be chilly, and yet it is 75 degrees out today. It was, like, record hot in most of the state today.
Well, it had been. The hot toddy is a favorite beverage of winter, and
I'm going to wipe my mouth on the soundproofing here.
It's also a common cure, like old wives' tale, kind of, mm-hmm. for the common cold and stuff like that. The hot toddy doesn't have a standard recipe. It needs to consist of some kind of liquor, some kind of hot beverage, such as just hot water or tea or even coffee, and something sweet to cut it, as mm-hmm. well with various spices, depending on what you want. Mm-hmm. So we're drinking ours today with whiskey mm-hmm. and hot water and honey and lemon mm-hmm. and a little bit of cinnamon, mm-hmm. which is, I don't know if I'm crazy about this recipe.
I think it's a tasty treat. I think a little more sugar would probably do it well.
Yeah, we also added...
Oh, what just fell?
My jacket.
Ugh! Why are you storing your clothes in our studio?
Why is your studio where I store my clothes?
Ugh. I sold my watch fob to buy you this studio.
So we're drinking ours with whiskey, hot water. We also added a little bit of simple syrup. So the origins of the drink are a little bit shady, but most accounts agree that it dates from Scotland sometime in the 18th century, where the hot toddy part of it, hot because it is a hot beverage, and the toddy part may be named after Todd's Well / the Todian Spring, which is a water supply to Edinburgh that was popular at the time. So mm-hmm. literally they are making a hot toddy.
So it is right. So warm, hot water, like hot water.
Warm agua.
Right. Another
story.
So our cocktail
story
is technically hot water. Boy, we really are poor.
Another
next
story
week we'll
is
be discussing air.
We'll be discussing aristocrat vodka next week.
That's if we hit it big.
Other stories maybe that it is a sweetened...
This week we're discussing that liquid that's left in the bottom of the crisper after you remove all the rotten vegetables. It's technically alcohol now.
Other stories, there's one that it suggests that Scotch women were not fond of the bitterness of Scotch, mm-hmm. and so they added something to sweeten it. I think it's just a sweet form of alcohol.
Is there an ethnic stereotype about Scots women?
No, but when I read that, I immediately thought of dwarf women from World of Warcraft.
No, see, don't stop. I'm just going to have to edit that out. I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to get guys. Well, no, because then all the boys will like it because you're a girl.
They already do. Ayo. No, they don't. Anyway, another story would be that it is there's an Indian drink made of palm sap that is called a toddy, and it mm-hmm. might have been imported to the British Isles.
Like a T-A-D-I or something?
No, it's a toddy. Like,
mm-hmm. I'm saying that because that's like Indian spelling.
No, we're going to have to edit that out.
Why?
That was may have been imported to the British Isles, like, backwards. Mm-hmm. So but it doesn't contain any palm sap, so who knows?
Yeah, so it wouldn't seem very It may, you know, or maybe it's just a pun. Maybe it's a pun on the Indian drink.
Well, I think it's either that or it is literally just
the water from
the toddy well. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are the, you said it was a cure-all type thing?
It was supposed to be, because you got the honey, you got the lemon, and you've got the booze, which is going to make you feel better if you have a really nasty cold.
And what is the real science on that?
There is none. I mean, it's the same idea. You drink tea when you're sick, you know, with lemon and honey. The booze in it makes you feel better, but the American Lung Association actually has published a couple of statements saying this is not a good
I think
remedy, because it will only dehydrate you, and when you're sick, you don't need to be dehydrated.
Right, or if you have a fever and you're drinking alcohol and get all vasodilated and things feel worse. Plus, you know, nausea is probably not helped by alcohol.
Well, not you get nauseous when you have a cold?
Some people do.
Oh.
Because, you know, you'll get the vestibular apparatus will get all in your ears, and then you get dizzy. And
Well, it's also a favorite wintertime beverage.
Yes.
As our dear listener, Amber, pointed out to us.
We've got to make it sound like we have more than, like, three people listening. If we mention the same people every week, this is just like a phone call.
Prefer not to
superfan. It's like an incredibly delayed phone call mention the same people
every
week.
Prefer not to superfan. Amber suggested the hot toddy, and I want to go ahead and apologize, as we do every week, for bastardizing everyone's
favorite
drinks.
That's what I was
going to
say, yes, exactly. Standard disclaimer. Neither Kate nor I is a cocktail expert. We will probably murder your favorite drink.
Amber, in your next letter, you need to tell us how you made the hot toddies.
No, I think this one is pretty good. It needed to be warmer, but you pulled the kettle off the stove
it
much too quickly.
It sounded like it was boiling.
I told you, the kettle is like a sneaky kettle. You've never had like a kettle that like sounded like it was boiling, and then you poured the water out, and it was like just like it came out of the spigot?
No, because for a really long time, I had an electric kettle.
I know that I broke. You weren't going to add that, were you?
I wasn't going to
I broke your electric kettle.
Josh broke my kettle.
In my defense, it was a flimsy piece of shit. It was a little 2-cent plastic switch can render the entire unit.
It was like $40.
The switch.
Oh, well.
Can render the entire unit useless.
You talk to my dad. He got it for me.
A non-replaceable switch, which, by the way, I looked on the internet. I was trying
I know.
You know.
I know.
Tried to repair
it. Why do we still have it in the kitchen, then?
Because I'm going to repair it. You know me. I repair things.
Okay.
I'm going to repair it.
Okay, so moving on.
I don't know. What do you think of the toddy?
I think it either needs more... It seems very weak to me. It's like drinking water that's been sweetened.
I think, you need more sugar and more lemon.
Well, I would
in
say...
In the next round. Although I will have these when it is much colder, I'm going to tell you now.
It doesn't taste like... I don't know. It's very diluted. Like, I think you need less water and more...
Booze?
Maybe more booze, or maybe just more... You're also... A variation of the recipe, you're supposed to swirl it around with a cinnamon stick, which...
Yeah, I think that would make it tasty.
Super classy.
Not necessarily. You do that with mulled wine.
Every picture that I've seen of this drink is in, like, a particular type of glass that looks really cool.
Like, the Moscow Mule has this Moscow Mule copper
glasses.
No, I will have this when it's colder. I'm flop sweating like Albert Brooks in Broadcast News right now, because it's 75 degrees out and I'm drinking a hot toddy in this sealed-up closet.
Yep.
I mean, high-tech recording studio.
Yep.
Which, if you look at our Twitter feed, you'll be able to see a really hastily done video of our
Because I was waiting outside the studio. Yeah. Being like, Josh, what are you doing?
Because when you yell, you're from Minneapolis.
Josh.
Josh, we're going to go see Paul Bunyan. Crowler needs a jump.
I want to go see Paul Anka.
Okay. I need to get some water, to be entirely honest. Before we do screen time, I got to get some water and cool the fuck off.
When we come back, we'll be doing screen time.
Yes, I think so.
Screen time. After nerding for your Jody and Jody.
Okay. Who's going first? Hey, so this is Screen Time. Kate and I, every week, random.org, select a year from our lives and then watch the movie that was number one in America that week in that year in our lives. This week, what was our number?
Mine was 11?
I think it's 9.
9? Oh, what? Yeah, it would have been. Sorry. For a second, I thought I was born in 1985.
No, you were not.
9 is our number. So for me...
It would have been what year and what movie?
For me, that would have been 1997's First Contact.
Star Trek: First Contact.
And Josh?
And it would have been 1982, and the movie E.T. colon, the extra hyphen,
terrestrial. All right, Josh, you want to go first?
What do I have to say about E.T.? It's perfect.
That's what I'm saying. We can get out of the way, and we can get down to business.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like a big Steven Spielberg fan. In fact, I complain about him all the time, but this movie's like perfect. I mean, the thing that struck me watching it this time, it had been 7-8 years since I saw it, was just how much of it is visual storytelling, how much of it is just very strictly, you know, the focus on seeing the world through the eyes of a boy, and how big things are looming all around him, and for resources
show me,
are.
Don't tell me.
Right. It's just, it is quintessential show, don't tell filmmaking. There are things that I picked up this time that I had not ever picked up before. Just sort of like the visual pairing of him and Peter Coyote, which I had never noticed before, and really great things. And it just struck me that, you know, Steven Spielberg movies work best when fewer people are talking.
Which is why Amistad.
I would say that there is an inverse correlation between the number of lines of dialogue and the success of a Steven Spielberg picture. You know, he does two things really well, and really only one now, but you know, he does these great big action set pieces that are just sort of dynamic staged events that he captures, you know, which basically Raiders of the Lost Ark is the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does this sort of very simple and not necessarily subtle, but wonderful visual storytelling. In this case, the story about, you know, a lonely boy and the friend that he makes from space.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were talking about with horror movies, and I think other genre movies as well, the thing that makes this good is that it sort of takes the familiar and externalizes it in the form of the unfamiliar. So in this case, again, like we talked about with The Possession, it's this kid, recently divorced, feeling on the outs
wow,
even from his
divorced?
Family. Families.
His parents are
right. Feeling on the outs even from the rest of his family and, you know, needing somebody to latch onto. And then he has this friend. So, you know, it's a feeling that we all know manifested in an unusual circumstance. So wonderful, perfect storytelling. E.T. colon the extra hyphen terrestrial. And we saw the one without the stupid walkie-talkies digitally airbrushed in.
Yeah, we did.
You like, you don't like E.T. though.
Nope.
Why don't you like E.T.?
Yeah, you know what? Anything I say here is just going to upset people.
I'm going to talk shit about Star Trek in about 18 seconds.
True, but E.T. is, it's too obvious.
You realize it's a children's movie, right?
It's too obvious. There's the Jesus imagery, like the big bad government. I don't like Drew Barrymore, even though she's a child. I think E.T. is
really
dumb.
Okay.
Like, why did his crew leave him behind
it
in
the first place?
It
doesn't work to you sort of emotionally on the level of sort of common shared experiences of childhood?
No. Like, the last time I saw this before we watched it was probably when I was, like, 8, and I was
right.
Like, nope.
Well, you must have been very well-loved by your family.
No, and I wasn't. That's the whole point, is why I don't think it's that great. I mean, it doesn't work on me. It should. I wanted an alien buddy when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get one. Mm-hmm. He can, like, fly and, like, speak English, and he's apparently, like, this otherworldly, like, mastermind. Like, they've mastered space travel, but they haven't...
Again, movie is working on the level of emotional myth. It's not like it's not Star Trek. It's not science fiction in the sense of, you know, trying to explain the nuts and bolts of the daily life of it's working on the. That's why visual storytelling for it works best. And I think you're right. I think if it had started trying to explain all of these things, like I'm a creature from space and I collect samples of biological blah, 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 you would have rapidly headed down the road to midichlorian territory where you're over explaining things to such an extent that it takes all of the resonance out of it.
I just didn't care for it. I didn't have any emotional connection to any of the characters. For a movie that's supposed to inspire pathos, that's kind of a failing on its part.
I'm not one to use the argument from popularity often, but, you know, it inspires pathos in a lot of human beings.
Yeah, I know. So do a lot of horrible movies.
Bleep bloop. That's true.
Grease, for instance.
No, that's just pure nostalgia.
Well, all right. Tomato, tomato.
Okay. Anyhow, so your movie was 1997 Star Trek : First Contact.
First Contact. This is the... Before we begin, I just want to point out that I am a huge Trekkie, and I'm going to try and rein in the nerd.
No. I say let your freak flag fly. Although in the future, we aren't allowed to have flags. So.
Yeah. So Star Trek First Contact is the second movie in the Next Generation movie franchise. You know, Star Trek, the original series, had the first 6, and then Star Trek The Next Generation has, like, the next 4 before the latest reboot by J.J. Abrams. Anyway, this is the second movie, Star Trek First Contact. Following the events of Star Trek Genesis, the crew are breaking in the new Enterprise, which
Not
is Enterprise
Genesis.
E.
Generations.
Generations, whatever. Genesis Project. Following the events of Generations, the crew is breaking in the new Enterprise E because they crashed the Enterprise D at the end of the last movie. When the news of a Borg invasion arrives, they've started invading Earth, Earth space, and all troops are called to the front line. Picard is kept back, but then decides to go anyway. Picard uses his knowledge of the Borg because about halfway through the series on TV, there was a sweet cliffhanger where he got abducted by the Borg, and then this crew had to get him back, and now he has, like, horrible memories and PTSD. Picard uses his knowledge of the Borg to destroy their ship, but at the last moment, they launch, like, a center kind of escape pod that starts going back in time to Earth. The Enterprise sees this happening. They realize that...
Fly into that time hole.
The Borg is attacking humanity in the past, so they follow. They arrive at a key point in Earth history, which is the days before the first warp
flight.
Also, let me
interrupt, by the way, to say, apparently it's the threshold for what you are obliged to go back in time and stop falls somewhere between Hitler and Borg, because they never felt the need to go back in time and stop Hitler.
So they arrive at a key point in Earth's history, which is namely a few days before Zefram Cochrane, who is played by James Cromwell, flies the first warp speed flight, which is kind of the first exposure from Earth as a planet to space. Like, at this time, you know, Vulcans notice that humans have warp technology and they decide to visit. Thus, first contact is made and ushers in a new age of peace for humanity. The point is that the Borg's gone back to a time when Earth was weak and about a crucial moment in Earth's history is about to happen. So they're going to stop it from happening and take over the planet and assimilate it. The crew realizes this. Half of them, like Riker and Troy and Geordi, beam down to Montana to see what damage the Borg have wrought, because they've already like missile fired all their missiles before the Enterprise blew them up. And the other half stays on the ship with, you know, to fix things and be there for reconnaissance, when they quickly realize that the Borg beamed over before the pod was destroyed and are attempting to take over the Enterprise, and they have to stop that without radio contact to the people below.
And they do.
Well, yes, they do.
And did you enjoy the movie?
This is my favorite Star Trek movie. Josh did not like this movie.
Of the Star Trek movies, I think it's one of the better ones.
It is.
I don't like Star Trek.
I know. I'm just saying, what? Go ahead and air your grievances.
You know what? I don't like Star Trek. I think it's if I start, okay. I think it's just this sort of writ large passing down of 60s upper middle class white liberal nostrums about how the way the world should work that totally avoids any actual interesting disputes of value or the realities of what space travel would be like, and yet tries to sort of hand wash them away with, you know, a wizard did it, or we just don't have money in the future, or we have a magical thing that conjures up all the food we need and there's never any loss of food in the future. And it's like, you know, that's great that you live in a world in which all of the actual interesting philosophical debates are obviated by your hand-wavium. However, don't then come back at me with all of your bullshit values and then try and claim that they're applicable to me in a world that lives in a world with, you know, an actual scarcity of resources.
I don't understand. Okay, so Star Trek takes the replicator can give you whatever the fuck you want. For no cost. Why is that a bad thing?
But it's not interesting. I'm
and
not saying it's bad.
You don't have to join Starfleet. Not everyone has to join Starfleet. If you're on Earth, there are tons of people like Picard's.
So there's money if you live on Earth.
No, you don't have to join Starfleet. And
I'm not talking about Starfleet. I'm talking about the Federation where there's no money.
I'm just trying to tell you, like, Picard's brother runs a vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I really think that it's delicious how your entire problem with this hinges on money.
It does. Because here's why. It's not that that's the only thing that I hate about it, but it is at the core of what pisses me off about it, which is it takes all of the interesting things about storytelling and just hand waves them away.
No. I like it because there's still this perfect society, and yet people still act like dumbasses and hurt each
other. Until the Enterprise and its wonderful white liberal 1968 values come and tell them, you just hug your fucking problems
no,
away.
No, even on the Enterprise.
We're yelling. You realize we're going to have to edit half this out.
You're not even talking about the movie and its cinematic qualities and how it's
because
wonderful.
Because as one of the Star Trek movies, it's not bad. I mean, it's like a TV episode. It's basically like a big episode.
That's
with
how
better
all
production
of them are.
Values. No, that's not true. Some of them are worse and some of them are better. Like, Star Trek V has sub-TV production
it's
values.
It's terrible. It's pretty bad.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but the first one, like, has, you know, you have one
also
of the great filmmakers.
Bad.
But you have one of the great filmmakers of all time and great production values making it. So, you know, it varies widely.
Now, I don't understand why you have such a problem with this. Like, I like Star Trek because it's one view of the future where things are okay.
But that's boring.
No, it's not.
It's boring. It insists that, like, the real problems of humanity are these other things that, for some reason, we haven't been able to deal with for 10,000 years because we've been dealing with the problems of not having enough food to eat and disagreeing with one another violently about things. Those are the real problems.
Then you see what conflicts people come up to on that platform.
Because they're not interesting. They have no...
Yes,
like,
they
it's
are!
Like,
it's politics. It's space.
But they're not... But see, that's the thing. It's politics. But politics is arguing over scarce resources. Once you have eliminated the problem of scarcity, you've eliminated the need for politics.
Well, what about basic fear? The first episode where Picard meets the Borg is one of the scariest things ever. Things are out of your control. You're in space. You're on the open sea. You're sailing.
Right. That's wonderful. If they were all just little horror movie episodes, I'd love that. But they're not. They're all these little sort of very ham-fisted, like, Silver Age comic book stories of, like, tolerance.
Earth
in general, is not very touched on. It's about the people on the ship, the people who go sailing into the unknown. They cross the final frontier, and they explore new worlds. I would like us to talk about the movie.
Okay. So let's talk about the movie. I liked it as Star Trek movies go. I thought it was interesting.
You didn't even mention space tequila. You didn't mention space 1950s rock and roll.
Yeah, well, that was like, because it was like...
Space, you know, Moby Dick.
Well, here's the thing about space rock and roll and space tequila. Like, it just comes back to the sort of same upper middle class white people. Like, even 150 years from the future, they're going to be listening to Roy Orbison, because that's music from when I was a kid. And well, we were the baby boomers are the best ever.
It also takes place after this, the time period they go back to takes place shortly after the Third World War. So everything is pretty destroyed. And
right. And they haven't invented any music since Ooby Dooby Dooby.
Well, maybe that's the only thing that they have to, like, put in his little, like, neon green CD thing that he had. I'm not going to pretend like there's a lot of outdated future things in Star Trek. I think it's like that with any futuristic movie. Eventually you're going to be like, oh, they're just holding iPads, which they are.
Well, but that's the reverse. You know? That's the, like, that's the present day has surpassed the future. The what I'm talking about
that's
is the reverse,
saying,
which is no music has been invented since 1955 that would be on this jukebox.
But
it's
he
always
likes,
like...
No, he inserts his little CD thing.
Right,
that's
or
why
when we go on the holodeck, we got to go back to a 30s noir movie because there hasn't been any new storytelling since the movies that baby boomers saw when they were kids.
That's not even true because they can go forward in the holodeck to any kind of story that they want, and they do on the TV show. I'm talking about Picard in particular is... He's fucking Patrick Stewart. He likes listening to opera. He likes playing his little flute. He likes drinking tea. And he likes going on the holodeck and pretending to be in, like, noir movies and noir novels.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back to that classic novel from the year 2093. They never do that because they don't... because
they mention stuff like that all the time. I'm serious.
Right. But it doesn't pump into that boomer
That's
fan
That's why they
base.
Have, like, hollow chests.
But it doesn't pump into that sort of, that this dopamine,
original,
that dopamine structure in their brain
this
that
is my
says,
original
that
point.
Says, I am a 60-year-old white person in America. If only the world would listen to NPR as much as I do, then the Federation could happen and solve
each,
all of our
no,
problems.
No, each generation, so to speak, of Star Trek features stuff that will appeal to the one that just came before it. That's why fucking Benjamin Sisko is all about baseball, because baseball was big in the 90s. You know, that's why...
Or the 50s when baby boomers grew up.
That's why he's also into jazz and spicy food, and that's why... Space jazz?
Right, jazz from the 30s.
No, just jazz. Worf likes listening to Klingon opera. You know what? I bet Klingon opera would probably happen in the equivalent of the 18th century on fucking Kronos, but you're not giving him shit about it.
What the fuck is Kronos?
It's the home planet of the Klingons.
I thought it was from planet Klingon.
Kronos is the planet.
Well, that doesn't make every sense, because every other species, their fucking planet is named after them.
No.
Okay. Whatever.
I had problems with the premise of E.T. I'm like, oh, okay, an alien, his buddies leave him, and he has to befriend a young boy.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, ultimately, I...
As the movie, as the Star Trek movies go, I liked it very much. James Cromwell doing a little scenery chewing. Eh. I love all the set design is very nice. You know, I love I've always loved this about the Next Generation. Like, all of their logos and their typography and stuff is really cool looking. Like, seriously, I would watch episodes just so that I could, like, see their little pads and their user interfaces, because the typography is really neat. It looks very cool. And I think, you know, holds up well. It doesn't look dated, like when you look at shit from like the 80s and stuff, and it's like computer beep boop beep boop beep, and computers are like going dee doo dee doo dee. So I liked, you know, and as, because also it didn't sort of ham-fist in, it actually tried to address an interesting issue, which is, you know, history being different from reality. It did it in kind of a ham-fisted Star Trek-y way, but, you know, it was interesting. I mean, as Star Trek goes. What? You think I'm being patronizing, don't you?
That's not how you pronounce it.
No, that is how you pronounce. That actually is how you pronounce.
That's patronizing. Josh is a jerk. We'll talk about more stuff when we come back.
Okay. You goaded me.
I just don't understand. Like, it really bothers me that you hate it as much as you do, because it's so wonderful and clearly awesome.
Okay, Kate and I are friends again.
No, we're not.
Fuck you. Can we be future space friends where they've outlawed not being friends?
Nope, we're done here.
Okay, so our number for next
this
time...
This is the last podcast, everybody.
No, it's not.
Our number for next time is...
Don't you mean this is the last podcast, Amber, the only person that we ever talked to?
This is the final podcast.
Right.
All right, so our number for next week is 23, which...
23.
Josh?
What year's for you? For me, it was 1996 and the remake of Disney's 101 Dalmatians with Glenn Close and Jeff Daniels and Jolie Richardson, the living Richardson sister.
Mine is 2012's Breaking Dawn Part 1.
The Twilight Saga, colon, Breaking Dawn, M-dash, Part 1.
Part 1. Which is going to be funny for Josh, because I don't think he's ever seen anything
about Twilight. Any of them. I haven't read any of the books. All I know is that there's dreamy vampires and even dreamier. It's like your stupid show that you watch every week. So I figure it'd just be like watching another episode of that stupid show. I'm debating
you
now.
So moving on, what do we have to talk about?
So wait, how is your show different from Twilight?
Which I'm assuming you speak of the Vampire Diaries?
Yes. That's your story, right?
Well, first of all, the main character isn't a supplicant anti-feminist piece of shit.
Well, that would... Okay, that's
And there's
thing.
No Mormon overtones to the story.
But okay, that's a thing.
And the main male lead isn't abusive and emotionally incompetent, and he's also not a pedophile. Well, I guess he is kind of a pedophile.
Yeah, I think pretty much all vampires having sex with teenage girls.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Angel's a kiddie rapist too when you
pretty
get
much.
Down to it.
But the point is that shows are terrible, and there's like this weird semi-Christian morality over sexuality.
You know, I'm going to go into it with an open mind.
All right.
I'm going to go into it with an open mind, because I go into all movies with an open mind. I go into Star Trek with an open mind.
No,
kinda.
You don't.
It's hard. Because it's got that whole legacy. Because you know what? I don't think the people who like it go in with an open mind. I think they go in, they're going to like it because it's Star Trek. Or they're going to go in and they're going to hate it because internet. You know, like Tumblr. It's all Tumblr's
fault. Yeah, it's all Tumblr's fault.
Can we agree that it's all just Tumblr's
fault? No! You're the only person in this room that's anti-Tumblr because you let...
Well, there's only two of us in this room. Don't act like we have an audience.
Because you let, like, what crazy people on the internet say bother you.
Because they're all on Tumblr.
Not all of them. Some of them are on YouTube.
Right, but the ones who are on YouTube are also on Tumblr.
Why would you let what random anonymous weirdos on Tumblr say get to you? They're anonymous weirdos.
Because it's a weird subculture that it's like a fraternity. They get together and they all talk to you. Like, take your privilege. I can't even. What is this? All the feels.
That was not a sentence.
Yeah, but
you said because it's like a fraternity, and you made noises.
Like you don't like fraternity? You like fraternities?
No, not really. But I don't think that a website in which people are allowed to repost pictures and thoughts and shit.
We
and comment
had this discussion on our first show. It's just any subculture where it is isolated and shouts down opposing voices.
Really? So let's talk about the Whedonverse. Everyone who's into Whedon is basically a subculture
on internet.
Shouts
sure.
down.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure. I'm sure. What?
Oh, only on internet.
This is still about Star Trek, isn't it?
I mean, partly, but I'm just saying I don't.
You
understand.
Come at me like you always throw like Joss Whedon shit in my face. Like, yeah, I like it, but I will A, acknowledge its flaws, and B, you know, it's not like
and
I'm going to fucking
Star
conventions
Trek.
Wearing outfits and
I
shit.
I acknowledge Star Trek fans, but what you're saying, what are we supposed to be talking about right now?
I don't know. We were gonna finish talking
How
about
terrible
Amber's...
you are.
Do you want to keep doing the show?
Yes.
With this terrible person.
Yes.
So she's like, why do you always come back to Joss Whedon? It's like, yeah,
I don't, because it's a nerd thing that a lot of people like, but I
yeah,
think
and
it's
they're
tremendously
irritating
flawed
shit.
And not that great.
Well, you're wrong about that, but, you know, it's flawed like any other storytelling, but it's, you know.
All right, fine. You've got Joss, I've got fucking Roddenberry. I'm trying to move on here, and you keep goading me.
Okay. But also because I don't have this sort of unabashed hero worship that people on internet have.
Because they're anonymous and they can do that.
Right, and that's what I don't like.
What I don't understand is why you let, if someone on Tumblr or just on, like, let's say they comment on an article online and they say something really ridiculous like, I can't believe that they're letting the white man represent us once again. Like, why do you let that bother you? It's just someone shouting into the void.
But it's not into the void. They're shouting to a bunch of other creepy void trolls who love to shout down anybody else. Like, this video, the Lily Allen thing.
I have a question.
Like, instantly, the Lily Allen video comes out and she's racist. Lily Allen is not racist. Get back to planet Earth. Lily Allen is not racist.
Is there going to be, like, a special Halloween episode where Paw Patrol goes and he meets, like, his brother Void Troll who lives in this, like, weird sci-fi dimension?
That would be good.
Maybe not Halloween,
but you know what
like,
they learn?
Sweep Sweep
you know what they
something?
Learn? Same person.
They're both a little wrong.
The same person.
Oh, is he like evil Paw Patrol?
No, you know what? There's
Void
no evil.
Troll is like the evil side?
It can't exist. Darkness can't exist without light. That's like... No, but there is going to be a special Christmas one. It's going to be like... It's going to be like a little bit of a cheeky retelling of It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, with Paw Patrol.
Right,
Paw
Patrol.
Bailey.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's going to think it's going to be horrible, and then he's going to find out what...
Susie Troll is Zuzu, I guess.
Right. Susie's right. It's going to be real special.
Her name could be Suzuzu. Susie Zuzu.
Oh, have I mentioned, you haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life?
No. Nope.
By the way, Kate has never seen It's a Wonderful Life, so her opinions about every movie and everything else ever don't matter. But in the movie, in It's a Wonderful Life, Clarence the Angel, right, comes down, and when he first meets George Bailey, right, he says, you know, I'm Clarence, AS2, Angel Second Class. That doesn't make any sense. Does the 2 stand for class, and then what does the S stand for?
AS to Angel Second Class. I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense, and it pisses me off every single time I see that movie. It's like someone had to see this in the script and go, this makes no fucking sense.
Or they didn't, because it clearly got into the script.
Right. Although if it was ASC, they couldn't do ASC, because, you know, that's American Society of Cinematographers, which is why you see, like, all the people at the beginning of the movie, so-and-so, Josh Lucas, ASC,
mm-hmm.
like, photography, yeah. That's what that stands for. So maybe that's why. Maybe it was originally ASC.
You never told me you were an ASC.
I am an ASC.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm also an actor. You look me up on IMDb. I was wonderful in Sweet Home Alabama. And in Beautiful Mind. It was great in Beautiful Mind.
Okay, moving on.
So we were going to finish reading Amber's letter. So Amber wanted to know why we weren't talking enough about America's Next Top Model, which now that it's done, I guess we can talk about it in its entirety this season.
I come from the era, the generation, so to speak, of America's Next Top Model. Mm. It started in the early aughts. Mm-hmm. This is its, obviously, this is its 20th mm-hmm. cycle.
Where are they keeping the boys?
They're in the house somewhere. So I've been watching this show for a really long time. It's been with me through, like, high school mm-hmm. when I would just binge on, like reruns mm-hmm. on Oxygen on the weekends. Mm-hmm. Also, like, VH1 likes to play them. And I don't know if it's because I imprinted on it, like, a little baby duck on a mm-hmm. mommy duck, like, mm-hmm. then. And I was like...
Boy, that's a sad Joan Crawfordy mom to have.
And so that's why I still watch it, but I still get weird pleasure and, like, mm-hmm. delight out of watching it, even though it has gone downhill. Like,
it's like a show, like, everyone in the show is a horrible human.
Well,
it's about all the things that are horrible in the world. Yes. Now, that said, I enjoy watching.
Yeah, I mean, it's still fun to watch, though.
But, like, all the people are horrible.
And
they're all horrible.
It ceased long ago to be a show about legitimate fashion models. The first, like, 2 episodes, they had legitimate mm-hmm. prizes. They had, like, spreads in Vogue. They mm-hmm. had, like, you know, all these, like, fancy, like, people mm-hmm. on the panel. They went through this, like, down period. There was, like, a period. I want you to just point this out to you. This show is so old. When it debuted, Josh, it was on UPN.
Okay. Oh, right. That's not a channel anymore.
Yeah.
Because, see, I'm old, like, and I'm Buffy. Like, oh, right. That's not a channel.
Like Buffy.
No, Buffy was on WB. Then she went to UPN.
Then she went to UPN. But this is when UPN became the CW
gotcha.
TV now.
When?
Now. It went from being, like, a legitimate fashion TV show, like, reality TV show, to this, like, public venue for Tyra.
You bled a lot of categories together there, I would say. Project Runway mm-hmm. is a legitimate reality fashion show. Okay. Wouldn't you say?
What I'm saying is it went from being a semi-legitimate mm. modeling competition to a venue for Tyra to talk about
just
herself and
cry.
And cry and document, like, there's a couple of seasons where you can see this is, like, during her fat period in square quotes, where people are, like, making fun of her and mm-hmm. like everything, and then there's a period where she gets really hot again
mm-hmm.
and she tries to bring in the troops to make it more legitimate, like, she mm-hmm. brings in Andre Leon Talley for a couple of seasons.
And Paulina's on it, right.
Paulina Porizkova.
Well, you know I had a childhood fixation on it.
Well, I can imagine. Paulina Porizkova, and then they bring in Bitchy Mitch Bitch Bitch. Kelly,
the one who's
what's
still
her
there?
Face.
The Bitchy yeah. Bitch Bitch?
And then so now it's at the point where it's a shell of its former self, even if it was itself. You know what? I think...
Yeah, she's the, like, the bitchy Michael Kors of that show.
And they, like, adapted...
I
love
Michael Kors.
I love him.
I can't stand Michael Kors.
They've adapted, like, social media as a legitimate,
yeah,
like,
and then they
criterion.
Have that Gundam-style guy on there.
Yeah, that's the Brian Boys, the yeah. fashion correspondent. Anyway, the point of this diatribe is basically that I love America's Next mm-hmm. Top Model. I think I've seen every season.
This
every
was my
season.
First season.
I've seen every season. This one was particularly atrocious because they decided for the 20th century they were going to introduce boys.
20th century?
20th cycle.
Okay.
Or season.
Yeah, that's the
I think
thing. They
said
don't
20th
even call
season.
It seasons. They call it cycles, which is like, what the fuck
They
is
introduced
that shit?
Boys because they've done, like...
I thought they did boys before.
No, this was the first time. They have done, like, other, like...
So the boys were out in the shed before.
No, they're in the house. They did do themed
I think
cycles.
Tyra has a shed.
Like,
what's in Tyra's shed? You know what's in Tyra's shed?
Naomi Campbell.
A bunch of hoes.
They've done theme seasons, cycles before. They did one with, like, only petite models. They did mm-hmm. one with British models versus American models. Mm-hmm. They did one with, well, they didn't do one
amputee
with overweight models.
They had that transsexual this season.
Well, there was an ISIS was on
right.
a couple of seasons before that.
But she left
you
the one
know,
this one.
You
she
know
left
we're
going
to watch
season.
America's Next Top Model after this, right?
Like right now, tonight?
Yeah.
I'll be doing something else, baby.
All right. The point is, what did she want us to address specifically?
I don't know. Just talk about it. I thought it was crazy that the two people who were obviously the best models and most appealing people didn't win.
Nina and then the
androgynous guy with the great eyes.
Oh, yeah. And see, that always happens is there's always like one that you know is going to win for some ungodly reason. Mm-hmm. And then who won this season? Jordan, right.
I don't know if you knew this, but she was married at 19.
Yeah. So they always do this thing where...
And she went up against that guy. I don't know if you knew this, but the guy that she ended up against, mm-hmm. he was a janitor's son.
They always do this thing where they keep legitimately, like, horrible, even horrible for the people mm-hmm. on the show, keep them around, and...
I don't think Jordan was horrible. The guy that she was going against was just a doof.
I didn't mean horrible. I meant, like, in terms of, like, they're just, like, mean. They're the people who are the instigators or mm-hmm. whatever.
It just seemed obvious to me that Nina had, like, a look, like, a marketable yeah. look. Like, she's...
Top model has been and around
And then the other
so
guy
long.
Had also had a look. He had a look. He's like, wow, you know, like, you could make a niche. Like, Jordan is just, like, so boringly ordinary.
Yeah.
Like, she's a 5'10" blonde who basically has an ordinary pretty face.
19, yeah.
You know, let's see how she ages. Probably won't. But, you know, Nina has, like, a look. She looks like, you know, a weird Cupid doll, like a porcelain doll. But she was really cute and she had a personality. And then there was the dude, the crazy dude with the eyes. And he was, like,
Corey.
You know, yeah. And he was fun and had a different look. Like, everybody else was just boring. And then there was the beard guy.
Yeah.
Well, there was the hipster who was, like, straight.
I do like how they managed to cast a season of all male models and they only had, like,
two gay guys. I know. Like, what
yeah,
the hell did
and
that?
One of them got voted off in, like, the
you know
first
what that
episode.
Is? That's Tyra. Mama shopping.
Yeah, she is.
Mama's got some room in the shed.
For some more hoes. Next to the corpse of Naomi Campbell.
Oh.
I was going to say, A&TM...
Can you bleed out if you pull out enough weave?
Yeah, I'm sure you can. A&TM has been on so long that mm-hmm. they had a photo shoot specifically with models from the show before reenacting their moments. Like, they're, like, you
well,
know,
like... Well, they did that, like, on Survivor and shit.
Well, you know, like, when Jervis, like, you know, the swimming, yeah. or, like, when Homeboy fell into the fire, that would be a photo shoot on America's Next yeah. Top Model.
Oh, and then that's the other thing. How long have they been doing this thing with the photo where they have, like, the moving part in the photo?
This is the first season.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
That, because, you know what? I don't need to think I'm high when I'm not high. You know how, like, when you're high, sometimes you'll look at something and you'll think something moved, but it didn't move?
Vaguely.
Right. That's what I'm talking... I don't need to think that I'm high when I'm watching America's Top Model. Because, you know what? If I'm thinking high, I'm not going to watch America's Top Model.
Maybe that's the only way you can watch America's Next Top Model.
Yeah, I don't know. But that, the little moving photo thing is fucking freaky as
that's
shit.
That's what I'm saying. They keep doing all these weird random things every season mm-hmm. to like kind of like make it new or make it fresh. Like, they used to go to legitimate fashion capitals of the world when they, you know, when they go abroad, like mm-hmm. in the first season, excuse me,
yeah, this,
cycle.
Where were they? They were like in Kuala Lumpur this time or something.
Yeah, the first cycle they went to Paris. Mm-hmm. The second cycle they went to Rome. Mm-hmm. The third cycle... they went to Tokyo, mm-hmm. and then the fourth cycle or the fifth cycle, I forget which one, they
Stop
finally go to
cycle.
London.
You're feeding into the...
The point is that they run out of cities. One, they go to Jamaica. There's one where they went to Jamaica. There's one where they went to South
that's,
Africa.
That's where they get that moving photo idea.
Yeah, South Africa. There's one where they went to Thailand, which is where they were here. There's one where they went to, like, Australia, of all fucking places. That was the one with Renee, who was the mom, who kept saying, I'm a mom, every
And that's the other thing. It's
her.
Like everybody. It's like the most reductionist reality show formula, where yeah. everyone gets reduced to their one quality, which is Jordan was married.
Mm-hmm.
Guy, I don't know if you knew this, had a father who was a janitor.
Mm-hmm.
Other guy, he's androgynous. Is that going to sell?
And then the other guy that they brought back was a virgin. And he was in love with Jordan.
Oh, I don't remember that.
They really pushed the whole, like, boy and girl sexual tension thing a lot, which just seems dumb. But, you know, I don't know.
I don't know. I just don't understand why Nina didn't win. I just thought she was cute. That was my... Well, you want to talk about Sucker Punch? We talked about that last time, right? It was a terrible movie that we hadn't seen.
It's a terrible movie I haven't seen. I know one person in particular who fucking loves this movie and will argue with you about it at length. And I feel... Yeah.
No. I bet that's somebody who likes Lost. Is it one of your Lost friends?
It is.
Yeah. You know what? I can paint that. I bet he loves Pulp Fiction.
I think so.
Yeah. There you go.
You know that show,
you
The
like
Cape?
Him, you like him.
You know that show, The Cape?
Six seasons in a movie?
That was on for like a day. He loves that.
It's, you know, whatever. People like what they like. Okay. Oh yeah, and she wanted to know why it's double X, why are there boys in the house? I think we've answered because Tyra.
Because two X's together make 20.
But yes, you would think it would be like all lesbian models.
And they have like that little diamond.
Right, and 2.0 implies a level of rebooting that I don't think the show achieved.
No. The show has not had any kind of reboot really ever. You know, it's like on the petite cycle, you want to know who won? The one that was the tallest. The rule was you have to be 5'7 and under. The one that was 5'7 won.
Well, that's like that old Dana Carvey used to have a line of like, you know, where's the line between tall midget and short regular person? So, and Amber wanted to know about Alar. Okay, so since I was actually alive for this, and like you were, I was a little older, I think, than you. Yeah, Meryl Streep went apeshit about Alar, which is a chemical that they sprayed on apples while they were still on the tree in order to keep them on the tree a little longer so that they were more uniformly ripe when they
Don't
took them to the store.
Don't care those thoughts on my apples. Just leave me the birds and the bees, please.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's the thing. You weren't even doing Joni Mitchell. You were doing the goddamn Counting Crows version.
No, I was not. Okay. I was doing Joni Mitchell.
Anyhow.
Bop, bop. That's the Counting Crows version.
No, that's fucking Hanson. Bop, bop.
No, because they hired Vanessa Carlton just to be on the train
just to
and go,
ooh, bop, 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 bop. Right.
Ooh, ah, la, la, la. Okay. Jesus is a biscuit.
Oh, yeah, we haven't talked
Let
about
Let him sop you up.
Yeah,
when
we haven't,
is that starting?
When is that starting? We haven't talked about RuPaul.
Ru.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we need some. That is like the although, again, you know, I have my things about drag, but no. So, yeah, there was a big thing, and it was claimed that it was super carcinogenic, and then some people claimed it wasn't carcinogenic, and it turned out it might be a little bit carcinogenic. And then the manufacturer was going to pull it off the market, but before they pulled it off the government was going to ban it, but before they banned it, the manufacturer was like, we'll do something else, we'll come out with a different. So that's what the story was. But it was a big whole thing, and Meryl Streep testified in Congress that your kids were going to die of cancer if they didn't stop putting this shit on apples.
Most of us are going to die of cancer, so she's
Well, you know what? Cancer? It's just one of those things you die of because you don't die of getting eaten by a saber-toothed tiger. Like, people, like, seriously, when you look at history, like, increasing rates of, like, you know, people talk about, like, increasing rates of people dying of cancer in the 20th century, right? And, you know, the crazy people are like, that's because of all the chemicals. And, you know, it's not because of chemicals. It's because,
you know, polio
we're not,
is
right, we're
out
not,
there.
You're not fucking dying of measles.
Scarlet fever.
You know, you're not dying of pellagra because you get enough niacin now because, you know, we put it in your enriched flour. Anyhow, people are stupid.
Did you know that scurvy has been severely cut in half in the 20th century?
Right. I can only assume it's because people aren't sailing as much. Because there's a direct correlation between the number of people who sail and the number of people who get scurvy.
You know where they don't have cancer, Josh?
Where's that?
Star Trek.
Again! Get rid of all the interesting shit.
No!
Sickness is interesting. Scarcity is interesting.
There's still sickness. There's just no cancer. I think you need to watch, you know what, never mind. You're not going to like it no matter what I do.
Kate, I try a lot more of your shit than you try of my shit.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that. You just get so, you're so fucking sensitive that when I open my computer to play solitaire
because
while watching something,
you don't actually
watch things.
Because you don't actually watch things.
Yes, I do.
You watch things, like, for watching a movie for you is like having a painting in the room.
So does your fucking wife.
Yeah, I know. It drives me crazy about her, too.
But I can I'm capable of processing
information.
Guess
what? You're not my wife. I get to yell at you and punch you.
I am capable of processing information through my ears.
But that's not how it... Right, you realize movies also have a visual aspect.
Yeah, and if I want to know what's going on, I'll watch it.
But it's
it,
not
which is
all
why...
about what's going on. It's about what it looks like, about how it's presented, how it's framed. It's about a continuous sensory experience.
Okay, and maybe my sensory experience includes fucking playing solitaire
while
watching fucking
Plants
vs.
Zombies. Oh, see, and again, you just come back to the well. It's like, I don't like Witch Stillman because it's all white people talking.
It is white people talking.
You know what? Oh, fine. I listen to my white people talk than a lot of the shit you watch. But you know, whatever. Different people like different things.
No, every time I'm like, Josh, what do you want to watch? You're like, I don't care. I'm here
right,
by myself
because nothing
all day.
I like. Right, because nothing I ever like you ever watch.
That's not true. You have shown me a ton of stuff that I like. We're really just catty today.
Cats in the house.
It's my raccoon impersonation.
Oh, man, it's getting hot. Okay, so let's take another break and then come back and do recommendations. And,
we can just hash them out right now.
It's hot. I need water. Because, see, unlike on Star Trek, I need water.
They drink water on Star Trek.
Really? Where do they get their water?
From the fucking Replimat or the Replicator. It's like going to the grocery store, except it's free and it's instant. And you can get anything you want.
Thank you. You gonna play Candy Crush while we're doing the fucking show?
No, I'm opening up my notes.
Okay. So, back, we're gonna do, what are we, well, we don't need to do another letter to the editor because we did Amber.
Right, that's, we were continuing right. Amber, so.
So I don't, because I had a spare one.
Oh.
No, it's not an actual one. It's one of the fake letters to the editor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, as usual, if you want to get up with us, you know, it's a letter to the editor from a newspaper.
Oh, that's what you meant by fake. I thought right. You meant you wrote a letter to the editor to yourself.
So, as usual, if you want to get up to us, we're on Twitter at PNTcast. We're on the web, pntcast.wordpress.com, and at Tumblr at pntcast.tumblr.com. Mm-hmm. We're on the Facebook. Look us up on Facebook. Prefer not to. Where else are we? Email us, pntcast@gmail.com. Want to do recommendations?
Yeah, let's go into it. Do you want to go first?
Mine will be real quick.
Well, mine's really quick, too, so I guess I'll go ahead and get started.
Okay.
So, we are now in the month of December, so in light of that, it is tis the season for Christmas and cheer and holly and jolly and wham and stuff like that, so... Mm-hmm. I'm going to recommend one of my favorite episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000. It is a very special Christmas episode. It is one in which they watch the movie Santa Claus. It is a Mike era episode, so I'll go ahead and warn those of you out there that are Joel enthusiasts.
I'm a Joel enthusiast, but I love this episode.
And it focuses on Mike and the Bots watch a movie in which Santa has to battle wits with a
lesser
enemy.
This is a Spanish language movie.
Yeah.
This is an important thing. Santa fights the devil in this Spanish language movie.
Well, he actually battles with a lesser imp that was sent by the devil to stop
just like
Christmas.
The devil. Right.
So
it's the classic battle of Santa versus Satan.
And it's pretty funny. The imp has to enlist three naughty boys to help him try and destroy Christmas. And there is a cute little girl that Santa is trying to get a doll to. And it's hilarious. The bits in between are hilarious. There's a number where they sing a song trying to come up with a very secular way to wish you Merry Christmas. It's wonderful. I like it a lot. It's my holiday staple for the past couple of years.
There's like a 20-minute long sequence where the children of the world serenade Santa.
Yeah, and that's
and
weird.
And it's really creepy.
And that's really weird. And then there's weird mouth thing and smell-o-vision.
Oh, right, because he can spy on you from space. Also, Santa's in space.
Yeah, he is.
By the way, don't confuse this with the other Santa movies, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, that Mystery Science Theater also did. Although that one is also funny and stars a young Pia Zadora.
Yeah. So this is just Santa Claus, Mystery Science Theater 3000. It's an episode from 1993.
I'm fairly certain
six,
it's on Netflix.
And I'm pretty sure it will be on Netflix within the next month. I mean, obviously. Mm-hmm. Okay, Josh?
Mine's real quick. Since we were talking about Star Trek, I figured I would talk about a movie that I saw recently that is about obsessive viewership of something. It's called Room 237. It's about obsessive fans of The Shining who have read into the movie all of these weird conspiracy theories, either about him faking the moon landing or about him commenting on the Holocaust or the murder of Native Americans or any number of other very bizarre and strange theories that people have about this movie. And while the theories are clearly... you know, apophenia.
Give or take. Yeah.
Right. Just people seeing things where there aren't things. The interesting thing is as you watch it and as you go further into it, it just sort of becomes this, because I think most people who watch it are not obsessive fans of The Shining, but probably have seen the movie. It becomes seeing a thing that you have already seen through the eyes of obsession. And it is interesting in that sense. So it's called Room 237. I know for a fact that it's on Netflix.
You know, he just joined Twitter.
Stanley Kubrick?
Stephen King.
Okay.
He just joined Twitter. I'm just saying. That's just
that well, good
happened
for
like
him.
Today.
Good for him. Stephen, you know, I'm a fan of Stephen King, broadly speaking.
We need to add into show notes the trailer for the movie.
The Maximum Overdrive trailer.
Yes.
Let's do that. Yeah, okay. That's my other recommendation, which is watch Stephen King's trailer for, you know, Stephen King directed the movie Maximum Overdrive. Notable now, historically, probably most just for its AC/DC soundtrack. But at the time, a movie about killer trucks. 1985, starring Emilio Estevez and the beloved character actor Pat Hingle, who moved to my home state of North Carolina because of his experience making Maximum Overdrive, which he made down in Wilmington. And it's a terrible movie about murdering trucks.
Because it's Stephen King.
Stephen King says he does not remember actually making the movie because he was so fucked up on cocaine. And when you watch the trailer for this movie, Stephen King starts talking about, you know, I'm Stephen King, the master of horror. And I finally learned after they made a bunch of movies of mine that if you want something done right, you have to do it yourself. Now, let's take stock of this statement for a second. If you want something done, at this point in 1985, Stephen King movies had been made by... Let's run down the list.
De Palma.
Brian De Palma, Stanley Kubrick, David Cronenberg, who else am I missing? I mean, these are legitimately great filmmakers. And coked out Stephen King thought that his Green Goblin murder truck story, Maximum Overdrive, was going to outdo them all. I don't think he believes that now, although I believe he still bitches about The Shining for some reason.
Yeah, he does.
Which, you know, whatever. I think there's a reason that some people are good at writing books and some people are good at making
movies. Well, I've never read them. Have you read the book?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, it's different from the movie?
Yeah, but in the sense that it's words.
So it's not like Jack secretly has a crush on the bartender.
I think that
they never explore in the movie.
I think that the essence of the movie and the essence of the book are the same, which is a man whose family is in trouble because of his alcoholism, trying to isolate himself, and instead of becoming better, becoming much, much worse.
See, I never picked up he was an alcoholic. For the longest time, I thought he just went crazy because, you know.
But again, I think
all
it's
beer
like,
and no beer and no TV make Homer go something, something.
It's, you know, it's like books. It's like we're talking about with Spielberg. You know, in a book, you can over-explain things and it doesn't seem ham-fisted because you're already reading words.
Right.
But if in a movie people start saying things that look and it sounds like they're reading words, it's really annoying and ham-fisted and it sounds like they're over-explaining things. And I think the problem with a lot of translation of genre stuff to the screen is that it tries to over-explain things except for just sort of going for what the core of it is. Also, you know, movies by their nature, because you spend what? I mean, if you're, say you read 60 pages an hour and it's a 600-page book, that's 10 hours you spend with the book, you know. A movie's 90 minutes, or these days, you know, 180 minutes. But, you know, necessarily there has to be some economy made anyhow in a decent-sized book. And you want to just sort of get the essence of what a story is. You know, I'm not telling anybody. You know, like, you know, why do people even listen to this fucking, listen to us talk about movies? It's not like we know shit. I'm unemployable. It's not like I know shit
we
about
know
movies.
All the shit about movies.
No, I'm not awesome. If I were awesome, somebody would be paying. Oh, wait, in the future, I won't have to have money. So maybe I just wait for that future when being employable doesn't matter.
Yeah, go ahead and wait for the 23rd fucking century. You know, you are the reason why people are evil. Because you insist on this weird, like, we're not going to go into it again. We're not going to go into it again. I'm going to wait until my birthday, and I'm going to chain watch Star Trek. Drink pink champagne and make Josh watch it.
Yeah.
And he will be in pain.
Yeah, but you know what? Who brought you the pink champagne?
I didn't ask you to. You just bought it for me.
I did.
Break it on the porch right now.
You're mad at me because I want you to have a happy birthday.
Well, you know, that remains to be seen.
Okay. Well, I hope you'll spend some time with us next week. I promise we'll yell less about Star Trek.
Maybe.
By which I mean we won't talk about Star Trek.
Maybe.
So, as always, for Kate, I'm Josh.
For Josh, I'm Kate.
I really appreciate you guys spending some time with us.
Thank you for listening. But... I wish. It's like the final I wish. Like,
more than
I wish
anything.
More than life. More than riches. Jewels. I wish.
I wish to go to the festival.